We spoke with Sam Day, former managing editor of The Progressive magazine, to talk about nuclear proliferation, Israel, its stockpile of nuclear weapons, and the case of Mordecai Vanunu. Mr. Day, one of the questions, of course, that I think we need to get to, and that is the issue of nuclear proliferation. And certainly, we do have other countries who are building and building stockpiles of nuclear weapons. We've certainly heard about India and Pakistan. But a country whose nuclear weapon stockpile that doesn't get talked about very much is that of Israel's, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Talk, if you will, about the situation regarding nuclear weapons in Israel, and then perhaps we can talk about Mordecai Vanunu.
Okay. Israel has had a very substantial nuclear weapons program now since the late 1960s, more than 30 years. And they have a stockpile of probably somewhere between 200 or 300 warheads of advanced design, not just primitive old Hiroshima-type atomic bombs, but they've got fusion weapons and extremely accurate, extremely versatile nuclear weapons, capable not only of blowing up the whole Middle East, including Israel, but really reaching thousands of miles beyond the Middle East. One reason we know that is because a very courageous guy who worked for Israel's nuclear weapons program for about 10 years and then had a fit of conscience and left the program, had the courage to tell about Israel's nuclear weapons to a British newspaper some 13 years ago. His name is Mordecai Vanunu, and his story, published in the London Sunday Times, revealed not really any technical secrets, but it revealed that Israel had a really vast nuclear weapons program, in fact, as big as Britain's. And that was terribly embarrassing to the Israelis. And so they sent a hit squad to Europe and kidnapped him, brought him back to Israel, and held a kangaroo court for him, convicted him of treason and espionage, and he's been in prison for the last 13 years. And there's an international effort now to try to get him out of prison and also to try to help the Israelis be a little bit more understanding of the huge nuclear weapons program that they have. I mean, the Israeli people don't really know anything about it in detail. It's never been discussed in the Knesset. There's strict press censorship of the program, and Vanunu thinks that the Israeli people ought to know what's being done behind their back, because it threatens the survival of Israel, simply because a nuclear war in the Middle East would just the fallout from the bombs would pretty much decimate the Israeli population. And it's there again sort of the question of secrecy. Now, the government says that he deserves this extreme punishment because he leaked secrets and thereby endangered Israel from its enemies in the Middle East. I mean, it's just hogwash, just as the charges of Chinese espionage now are hogwash. There are no secrets in Israel that can't be duplicated by Iraq or Iran or Pakistan or any other Middle Eastern country. Its secrecy is being used as a smokescreen behind which the government hides, whether it be in Israel or the United States, in order to keep the public, keep the press from poking its nose into what's going on in these nuclear weapons programs. So the point, Mike, is that Vanunu is really a hero, should be seen as a hero, whose example should be followed by other scientists, both in Israel, the United States, and elsewhere.
We're talking with Sam Day, former managing editor of The Progressive magazine. We're talking about nuclear weapons, espionage, and Mordecai Vanunu, who is being held in an Israeli prison as a result of attempting to inform both the Israelis and the rest of the world about Israel's nuclear weapons manufacturing and stockpiling. Mr. Day, let me ask you, because I'm thinking about a couple of things, and one is, of course, that we do have all of this heat being thrown around about, oh, the Chinese, and they, you know, they may or may not have stolen, you know, nuclear weapon technology, and they may or may not have weapons pointed at the United States. But yet, none of these people that I have heard, none of these politicians that are so concerned about nuclear weapons and all of that, ever bring up the fact that Israel has such a sizable stock of nuclear weapons. It's not just discussed not in Israel. It's not discussed here either.
That's correct, yes.
Talk, if you will, about your perceptions of why that is.
Well, the government of the United States has been a protector of Israel ever since the founding of the Israeli state back in 1948. And it protects Israel from any kind of diplomatic embarrassment. We give a huge annual subsidy to the Israelis, more than to any other country in the world. And there has long been a special relationship between the government of our government and the Israeli government, just as there is sort of a special relationship between Britain and the United States. It's based, you know, on cultural affinity and the fact that we have a large and influential Jewish population in the United States, just like there's an even larger and more influential Anglo-Saxon lobby in the United States. It's just sort of natural politics. Some of it is based on guilt feelings, particularly among Democrats, over the failure of the United States to come to the rescue of Jews back in the 1930s, before the Holocaust. And we certainly should have done that. I mean, we had a very, very contemptible attitude of turning our eyes in the other direction, not doing anything to prevent the Holocaust. A lot of Democrats and others feel guilty over that, and they've sort of given Israel now a carte blanche to do whatever they want, just to sort of make up for what we failed to do in the 1930s. And the Israeli government, which is, you know, like any other government, it's looking out for its own, takes scandalous advantage of that guilt that we have over the Holocaust. And they use the Holocaust as a cover, an excuse for doing whatever the hell they want to do, whether it's building nuclear weapons or breaking the bones of Palestinian people working for independence. We just, you know, we need to sever those two things. What happened in the 30s happened in the 30s, but doesn't excuse what's happening now. And we need to call the Israelis to account for what they're doing. They're threatening the world, just as we ourselves are also threatening it through our own massive addiction to nuclear weapons. I mean, it's not like we have any moral, high moral ground in this area.
Well, there are two things that come to my mind when you're speaking about the situation from your perspective. One of them being, of course, that the United States government has discovered that Israeli spies have been spying on the United States.
Sure.
You know, but of course we haven't had this huge outpouring of, oh, espionage or any of that. It's just sort of like, well, you know, they did that and they shouldn't have and let's forget it. But,
yeah,
you know, when it's applied to the Chinese, then of course it's this huge, big deal. And
right,
the other thing, and I'd like, if you could, to speak to it, is that, you know, it seems to me that probably people in every area of the world, at least people who have the ability to access information and pay attention to that information, realize that the United States carries out its foreign policy in a very duplicitous and prejudiced manner. I mean, I don't see how the U.S. can claim to be a moral leader of the world when it's blatantly engaging in duplicitous, you know, favorative policies that, you know, are bald-faced lies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the late I.F. Stone, who was one of the best journalists to come down the pike, said that all governments lie. They just sort of do it habitually, and we shouldn't be surprised. We should just treat with skepticism everything, anything that governments say. And I think that's generally true. I mean, governments are self-serving, just like corporations are. But, you know, this is the only government we've got, and we've got to try to at least make sure that that they're being challenged, and we must never take anything for granted. And I think, you know, in certain areas we do challenge the government. After all, Nixon was challenged so badly that he had to resign. But generally speaking, Mike, in areas of national security, we simply don't do it, because all the government has to say is it's a national security matter. And public skepticism goes out the window. In fact, the courts, up to the Supreme Court, are notoriously laggard in challenging the government on national security claims. And we just have to be perpetually suspicious of that defense. And in national security areas, above all, I think that we should be skeptical, we should be defiant, and we should insist that the government come clean with the facts.
You are involved with an effort to gain freedom for Mordecai Vanunu, correct?
Yes.
Can you give our listeners any contact information that you would like to regarding that, and then also perhaps share a final thought with us?
Yes. We really would like to hear from people who are interested in this case. It's a very important case. And we don't have an email, unfortunately, but address is Vanunu Campaign, 2206 Fox, F-O-X Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, that's W-I, 53711. That's the mailing address. And then we also have a telephone and a fax number. They're both the same. And it is as follows, area code 608-257-4764. And we can provide a free package of information about the Vanunu case and why it's important if you will give us a call or write us a letter. We'd be glad to send you information without any charge at all.
Can you give the phone number one more time, please?
Yeah, the phone number, which is also the fax number, is area code 608-257-4764.
And a brief final thought for our audience, if you have one?
Yes. Never believe that there are secrets, whether it's in science or nuclear weapons or in education or whatever, that need to be kept from the public. The public has the right to know about everything going on in government, national, state, and local, and that we should insist on being informed. And we shouldn't take the information at face value. We should challenge it and probe and make sure we're getting a true story and the whole story. That's a lesson, of course, especially for the media. Every ordinary citizens can't spend full time in doing investigative reporting, but the media should. And the media is scandalously lax in this area of national security, foreign policy, anything having to do with that area. So my advice as an old-time media person, as well as a political activist, is to say that it's a never-ending battle to get the information that we need to have for human survival, because there are great issues now that are being decided in secret by the government, issues that could lead to the very end of civilization as we know it. So for the sake of our children, if not ourselves, we need to be on the alert, be skeptical, and ask tough questions.
Well, I'll say amen to that. And we've been speaking with former managing editor of the Progressive magazine and old-time media person and activist Sam Day. Mr. Day, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you, and good luck to the program and to your listeners.
Reporting for the Grassroots News Network, I'm Mike Thornton.